right. And a one and a two. This is the music of drum speak. Music of drum speak, all one word, D-R-U-M-S-P-E-A-K. What was the name of that? We're going to find out right now. Drum.
Hello.
Hello. What was the name of that? I never pronounce it correctly.
It's Bogachiel.
Bogachiel. Go ahead.
It's named after a river in the Pacific Northwest,
uh-huh.
in the Olympic National Park. My brother and I camped on it. So,
is that right?
So that whole project's kind of inspired by road trips.
Drumspeak is joining us again. We had an odd thing happen. You were on a while ago, and we were trying to get all kinds of technical problems. We didn't record your thing. And luckily, though, I've had my complete memory loss since then. I don't remember what you asked, what I asked, or what you said. So we kind of do the same thing again. You've been doing this for a while, and I wanted to talk a little bit about innovation, and that's kind of a theme today. You play these instruments, the electronic instruments. You do all of that yourself. Is it all multi-tracked? Obviously, it is, right?
Yeah, it is. I use Logic Pro, which is which there's a lot of different ones, and some have pro, some have cons.
Right.
But that's just sort of what I've gotten used to. And then I also have a mic down here in my basement. That's actually where I'm in the stew right now in my bedroom. But that last one you heard, you actually heard some live bongos and live drum set.
Yeah.
That I layered on to like the electronic drums, which I think gives a nice little texture.
I love this idea. You know, we call this show here Pirate Radio. I love the idea of you broadcasting from your basement.
You know, yeah.
We're all gonna. I'll be over if they drop the big one. I'll be over with canned goods and we'll hang out. The first musical influence for you was what? Was it a live band, or you heard what a Moog synthesizer was, or what went on there?
I'd say if we really went back, we would always. I have two older siblings, and my parents are still together, so. On Sundays we'd have waffles. My dad would make waffles, kind of a classic thing. But he'd play.
Oh, now I'm gonna cry.
He'd play the three artists that I really remember the most, like first were the Beatles, Louis Armstrong, and female artist Angelique Kidjo.
Yeah.
And so those are sort of the three first influences, which is kind of funny because Angelique Kidjo. Is a Swahili artist, and all of her music has a lot of drums.
Yeah.
And then Louis, I really like jazz, and I got into jazz when I was younger. And, you know, the Beatles are just sort of tried and true.
It's really odd. You know, I play a Louis Armstrong to end the show every day, the same song, Wonderful World. Really interesting you mentioned him. What an innovator. I wish people knew the whole story with him going back to the 20s. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good on you for bringing him up.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of my favorite. My dad's still always playing it, and it just sort of takes me back to when I was a kid. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was gonna ask you. So when you're trying to replicate, I don't know, anything, bongos or you know, any kind of drums, you're doing it electronically. Are you replicating? Are you trying to get a, you know, this was a bongo drum in real life, or these were congas, and I'm trying to do it electronically, or is it kind of the other way around?
So that's a good question. It kind of depends. So you can, I do have some like electronic, like African drum kits and Latin drum kits and such that have congas and bongos and a lot of hand drums like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can try to sort of go with like a natural sounding thing where the listener might think that, oh, he's actually playing it.
Yeah.
But if you add a lot of effects, it's pretty fun. You could sort of like distort the sounds and make it sound like something entirely different.
Uh-huh.
It just sort of depends while you're doing it, because you can sort of get into a hole of just adding effects, and then you listen back and you're like, yeah, that's not, I don't know that's the sound I was going for. I was just sort of having fun exploring.
Do you play with GarageBand at all?
So that Logic Pro is kind of like the paid version above GarageBand.
Okay.
So very similar in like the look and sort of the way you use it.
Uh-huh.
But has a couple extra features.
I play, you know, maybe, I don't know, 2-3 instruments really, really poorly. but when I looked at GarageBand, I thought, oh, my ship is coming. Look, I'm going to play a cello, man. So, I mean, but it some assembly required, you know. That's not, you can't just jump in, right, and compose. You think? Maybe you did.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, you know, it just sort of, you got to sort of put some time into it.
Yeah.
You know, if I played you the first beats I made, or like the first 2 years worth, maybe even of the music I was making, it sounds a lot different now.
Yeah.
So
how,
you
why,
start somewhere.
What's different? You just better at it, or more what? How did it change?
I think sonically it sounds more clean. And just like overall, like it'll play better on more speakers.
Yeah.
So like the mixing aspect of that, I think I've gotten better at, and the mastering as best I can do,
yeah,
has improved as well.
It's really interesting. You know, we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago who's the CEO of an outfit called Sweetwater. I'm almost guessing you might know who they are. They make, they have all band equipment and amps and all junk in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Anyway, just talking to him, he started way back when in a VW microbus with a TAC tape deck. And, you know, now he's in an era when everything is so, it's everything's state of the art, you know? I mean, nobody even has a bad pair of headphones anymore, you know? It's all cool, right? I remember I had a pair of headphones that, like, wore out. It was like they turned into a sponge. But, you know, I'm just saying that the demand for not only accurate sound, but just the stuff is better. And not only is it better, you got to learn how to work it, so. Part of that,
yeah,
drum, you know, you're younger than you're a lot younger than I am, and I think that works in your favor, right?
Yeah, to some degree, that's probably true. It's actually kind of interesting, like, that you bring that up, because overall, like, it's not, like, we do have state-of-the-art technology,
mm-hmm,
and you can really make sound sound perfect almost in an artificial sense.
Right.
And I feel like lately some people of my generation have sort of tried to go back and emulate some of those, the raw sound from,
mm-hmm,
like the 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm,
and the imperfections that come with that. And I feel like I'm kind of somewhere in between there, because I like to put like vinyl sounds in my music. And I do sometimes I'll play a piano, but instead of making it sound really good, I'll degrade it and make it sound sort of like old school in a way.
Yeah, I tell people that was intentional on my stuff. They say it sounds degraded. But listen,
exactly.
14 before the hour here. This is Drum Speak. You know the Kinks, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you knew this. They got that one of the sounds that they got. They took a razor blade and cut the speaker. They slashed the speaker and the actual casing, the paper part. Mm-hmm. That's how they got that weird rattly effect. So what you were just talking about. It's kind of a retro. It's like you bring it up to state of the art and then bring it back a little bit. So
right, yeah. Exactly, yeah, and it makes it feel, I don't know, more authentic in a way. But you know, there's probably someone on the other side who disagrees. But
no, we don't like them. let me play another piece of yours, and we'll get a chance to chat a little bit about it here. Let me ask you before I do that. What's the oddest? I talk to the birds in the morning. Do you put birds in some of your wildlife sounds? Any of that stuff show up in any of your music? What's the word? Do you?
Definitely, yeah. I use my phone. I use the voice memo,
uh-huh.
And I'll record all kinds of city sounds, but also nature sounds too.
Yeah,
which is kind of fun. Adds a nice layer.
Yeah. What's the oddest instrument that you've either used or tried to duplicate with your electronic stuff?
What do you mean exactly by that?
Well, something odd. I mean, it's not a guitar. Maybe it's an oboe or something, a tuba. I mean, something that's sort of, beyond the ordinary mix for what you do.
I'll put some, male choirs.
Yeah?
Sometimes, because I do have a couple choirs, and if you don't add effects to it, it sounds pretty artificial, but right. If you add enough. But it's great because you kind of have any kind of instrument that you want. Like yesterday I was playing with a friend and we were using a clav. You remember clavs?
Yeah.
Another big back in
C-L-A-V-E?
Yeah.
I thought that was clave until just now.
Oh, clave. No,
no. I think it's clave. I don't know. No, of course
I was thinking of clave, like the percussion instrument.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like anything you feel like trying out, you can. It's pretty cool.
I just love this whole idea here. All right, well, let's play one. This is called, I think it's called Pilias. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell the story of that.
So it's a Chinese money plant. I have them all over my house. They're just really, really pretty plant. I look it up. You've probably seen it. Mm-hmm. But that's like the Latin name, I believe. Pilias.
It's that round. It's like a. It looks like a coin almost. The leaf. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Pilias. All right. And that is the name of the money plant, and also this one. Here's drum speak.